the power I see. I'm not gonna live by what I feel. Deep down I know that you're here with me. I know that you can do anything. Through you I can do anything. I can do all things, for it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you my eyes are open and strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible.
Impossible. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of God this morning. I'm glad that you're with us. You may be seated. If you are a guest of ours, we are so happy that you're here on this holiday weekend, especially since so many people aren't here on this holiday weekend. A lot of our members and regulars, if you can call them that, are traveling, are away, so we're always glad to have guests, but especially today, on this weekend. Just a word, remember it's called Memorial Day, so take a moment and remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for this great nation. Amen, and of course that affects families and even generations of people, so please keep that in your prayers and in your thoughts this Memorial Day weekend. We're glad that you're with us. If you're a guest, please take advantage of the connection card. You can get one from an usher if you have not already gotten one, or from the kiosk out in the vestibule. Just a couple of points of information. We want to let you know how much we appreciate your presence here. We are glad that you have come to worship the Almighty God with the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We do have, at this time, a video for Mother's Memorial.
Hello, ladies. It's spring. Summer's just around the corner. Mother's Day, ladies' retreat, and it's time to talk about Mother's Memorial. Do you have a minute? Do you know what Mother's Memorial is? Mother's Memorial is the major funding source for ladies' ministries of the United Pentecostal Church International. It's the fund that allows us women to have an active role in what God is doing all around the world. Just like a mother, Mother's Memorial exists to provide unique care and support that no one else can. Now, this year's theme is, This is My Story. And this has been our story for decades. Through Mother's Memorial, we have been giving in ways that no one else can. Maybe there's some things that you don't know about Mother's Memorial. Did you know that Mother's Memorial is the only funding source to provide scholarship funds for foreign Bible school students to attend Bible schools in their country, in their language? Mother's Memorial is the only funding source to purchase major appliances for our global missionaries. Mother's Memorial is the only funding source for emergency funds for our North American missionaries. And Mother's Memorial is the only funding source for My Hope Radio that broadcasts the gospel around the world to places that we'll never visit. Without Mother's Memorial, those ministries would not even exist. Not to mention what Mother's Memorial does for Tupelo Children's Mansion, Haven of Hope, Lighthouse Ranch for Boys, New Beginnings, Mercy Nepal, World Network of Prayer, and many other ministries of truth and mercy around the world, around our nation, and around our Wisconsin district. So, how many stoves and refrigerators and washers and dryers will Wisconsin provide to our global missionaries? How many foreign Bible school students will Wisconsin support this year? How many North American missionaries will we, Wisconsin, help at their critical time of need? You can do all of that and more through Mother's Memorial, just by giving to Mother's Memorial. By faith, you can pledge to give to Mother's Memorial and then just see if God will supply the funds. If we will give what God provides, then He gets all the glory. Now, this year, we're going to do something different. It's called the Golden Giver Program. Wisconsin Ladies Ministries wants to say thank you to you, all of you, who as individuals give so generously to Mother's Memorial. You can be a golden giver to Mother's Memorial when you give a $100, $300, or $500 offering. And we will give you a beautiful golden gift as our way of saying thank you, to show honor to whom honor is due. Just contact your Wisconsin Ladies Ministries rep for more details. Thank you for being a golden giver. Thank you for giving to Mother's Memorial and making 2021 a golden year. Thank you. Happy spring, and God bless you.
Amen. Lindsay Simmons, the Sister Lindsay Simmons, the coordinator for Ladies Ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church, is at the campground with Pastor Jerry, and they're working up there, so she's not here today. But she wanted us to stress that one of the great ways that you can be a part of Mother's Memorial offering is to support a Bible school student on the foreign field so that national pastors can be developed to minister to people in their own homeland, in their own language, in their own culture. So and for every $200 that's given, it covers the cost of the education for a national pastor. So please keep that in mind if you want to just pledge for that one thing. That will be a great blessing to you and a blessing to the kingdom of God to support one Bible college student on the foreign soil. Amen. Amen. So our giving options, if you are worshiping with us today, you can give in the box that's out in the vestibule on the kiosk. You can drop your offering in there at any time. Please don't forget, if you're planning on pledging and you haven't pledged yet, this is the final day for Mother's Memorial that we'll be taking up an offering. So this is your chance to get in under the wire, if you will. And then also, you can give online. cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give by sending your offering, especially for those that are online with us. You can give by sending in your offering in the mail. The address is there on the screen, and you can text to give. But if you're giving for Mother's Memorial, please make sure that you designate MM for Mother's Memorial, especially since we're going to be closing out this offering very soon. And this will be your last opportunity in service to give. Keep that in mind. If you're giving for tithes or offering or whatever special offering, please designate that when you text to give. Amen. Friday, June 4th, all church prayer at 7 o'clock. Amen. Saturday, June 5th at 5 p.m., men's ministry stakeout. The grills will be hot, so bring your own meat. Drinks and sides provided. Pastor Endres from Green Bay will be speaking. And then next Sunday, June 6th, we will begin our new service schedule. So we'll be opening up the Sunday school to another level. Child check-in begins at 9:45. So please, if you want your children to be in Sunday school, make sure that you're here by then. 10 a.m., adult and children's classes begin. So we'll be having an adult class here. The schedule will be set up so that there will be more of a teaching element in that first segment. And then we'll have a worship service and preaching in the second element, which begins at 10:45, we'll check out the kids from Sunday school. So that means if you're a parent, you need to be there to pick up your child. So when we dismiss from here, from our early morning class, the adults need to make a beeline over to wherever your children are, whatever classroom they are. The checkout will be in the hallway at the end of the hall between here and the fellowship hall. And then at 11 a.m., we'll all come together for worship service, and we're going to have church on Sunday morning. Amen? So we want to encourage you to come to both of those segments. It's all worship. It's all the Word of God. It's all the family of God, and you will grow if you make that commitment. Amen? All right, so let's stand. We're going to pray once again. We want to remember Sister Victoria Smith. She will be, she's at home today. She's not feeling well. Brother Ben has asked that we remember her in prayer while we pray. Pray for the Rutherford family, the Sarah family. Brother Jimmy Rutherford has passed away this past week. Continue to pray for the Michaels and Grant family. Sister Lois lost her mother this past week, so let's keep them in prayer also. Anyone else that has a need, please identify your need just by raising your hand. It's just a minor thing, but I believe that it's an act of faith that you're designating, that you're showing God, I believe that you hear me in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for what you're doing here today. We thank you, God, for the fact that we are able to come together in the house of God and worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, oh God, for your blessing on the remainder of this service, on these worship leaders, upon Brother Smith as he brings us the word of the Lord, upon every heart, every mind, every individual who receives this word, let the seed of your word take root, O God, and let it bear fruit in every life, O God. In Jesus' name we pray, O God, for Sister Victoria, O Lord, for healing in her body, for strength to come to her right now, oh God, for recovery. In Jesus' name we pray for your strength, for your healing for her. In Jesus' name we pray, oh God, for our loved ones, the Grants and the Michaels and the Rutherfords and the Sarahs, oh God, that your spirit, your hand, your blessing would flow over them and flow to them and flow through them to strengthen them in this time of loss, in this time of grieving, oh God. Help them, oh God, to be a strength and a blessing one to another. And help us, oh God, to bear them up, oh God, on eagle's wings, as it were, by your anointed prayer. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, and we give you the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship God. Test, holding on the faith you know.
watching us now. When it looks as if we can't win, you wrap us in your arms and step in. And everything we need you supply. And it looked as if it was over. You made all way. And we're standing here only because you made all way. You made a way.
I've seen you move on the mountain.
You move
the mountains. And I believe
I'll see you do it.
I'll see you do it again. You made a way.
There was no way.
When there was no way. And I believe
I'll see you do
it. I'll see you do it again.
Oh,
I'll see you do it again.
That's impossible. Oh.
And we're standing here only because you made a way. You move mountains. You cause walls to fall with your power.
Perform miracles.
And there is nothing
that's impossible.
We're standing here only because you made a way. You made a way.
Oh, you made a way.
You made a way.
You made a way.
You made a way.
You made
a way. You made a way.
Don't know how, but you did it. Made a way.
Made a way. We're standing here only because you made a way.
For Jesus all over the house. Amen. Truly, He is worthy. There's nobody like Jesus. How many know He'll do it again? He moved whatever mountain, whatever obstacle. He broke whatever addiction. He overcame every hurt, every pain, every shame. He made a way of escape. How many feel so grateful for that presence we feel in the house this morning? Woo! It's good to be here on a Sunday morning. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for coming on this wonderful Memorial Day. I want to give honor to all the families that had loved ones that served, but also those that paid the ultimate sacrifice and gave their life for the great freedoms we enjoy in this country. You know, a lot of us don't take or have the privilege to travel to other countries. I had the privilege to grow up overseas, and you really see those freedoms a whole lot differently when you see how other countries live. So I'm so appreciative for all the men and women that served. Amen. I give honor to our pastor. Thankfully and gratefully, he's laboring so hard at the camp for all our young people to have great junior and senior camps and then family camp. And I give honor to all our bishop and all our pastoral team. So grateful to have all my family here. It's been a long time since I had my father and mother here when I was preaching. So I'm glad to have them here this morning. Amen. Amen. Give honor to Reverend Caskey. I believe he did an awesome job on Wednesday night. Amen. How many believe the sword of the Lord in Gideon? No matter what you're going, understand God will never call you to do something that you can do on your own. But he'll never ask you to do something that he won't equip you to accomplish. Amen. I'm thankful for God fighting for us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to read a little bit of a lengthy passage. Don't worry, I won't keep you standing for all of it. But starting in Deuteronomy 6 and 1, very important passage of scripture given as God was trying to instruct his people and how this gospel will continue. So Deuteronomy 6 and 1, if you'll read with me. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that all thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God. Your word is already anointed, but anoint my lips of clay to speak your word, God. Let me be an oracle of the Holy Ghost, a vessel that you can flow through, God, that you might receive all glory and honor today, God. Remove me, but let you get the glory and honor, God. Thank you for the message which you've given, God. Let it go forth and be delivered as you've given it to me. Thank you for this time we can gather together. Thank you for all those that are here in body, God, and also watching online. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Understand, this is a very important part of Israel's history. God is giving statutes and judgments and commandments which he required and asked, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be prospered, if you want to be multiplied, these are the things I ask that you teach your children. I'm so thankful that growing up I had parents that taught me this gospel. I had Sunday school teachers that invested in me. I had a pastoral team and Bishop poured into us and Pastor Grant poured into us. And I'm so appreciative of that. But there's something that we have to understand in this gospel. We have to teach it and we have to live it. We have to love it. So this morning I'm talking to you about faithful to a father. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. If you remember a while back in the beginning of the year, Pastor Roy talked about body, soul, and spirit being healthy in that. And here, way back in Deuteronomy, it talks with all thy heart. That is our spirit. With all thy soul, that is obviously our soul. And with all thy might, that is your body. The New Testament tells us body, soul, and spirit. But even in the beginning in the Old Testament, they were telling them that they were to love God, to follow his word with both spirit, soul, and body. And these are the words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently, not just when it's convenient. I understand we live in a busy world, but diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hands, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house. And on thy gates, what God is saying is he wants to multiply. He wants to magnify. He wants to bless his people. But his people are asked that they instill his laws, his precepts, his promises wherever they go. Whether they're in their house, whether they're laying down, whether they're rising up on their gatepost even before they enter. Wherever they go, they'll be bound between their eyes. Why? Because God's word is ever so vital. Not only back then in that time, but in this day and hour, we need God's word. As a church, we need to live for God. We need to love his word, and we need to teach that to others around us. Amen. Verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt eaten and be full, Verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Understand, I enjoy blessings, but understand when we're blessed, we cannot forget the giver of those blessings. When we walk in plentiful, when we live in a free country, we cannot forget where that came from. Because without God's blessing, without God's promises, without His precept to build a firm and strong foundation, we have nothing to stand upon but sinking sand. But when we build our life upon His Word, when we build our children and our livelihood, everything that we do, when it's built upon God's Word, it's built upon a rock. And His Word is forever settled in heaven. He is that chief cornerstone. He is that thing which will never pass away. And when it's built upon something that will last, you have no doubt that what you build will last as well. So verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which broughteth thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted Him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes which He commanded thee. Verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Understand, on Wednesday night, Brother Caskey made a very important statement. That vision that pastor has given to this church is not something that's for the future, but it's something for right now. Amen? You know, I'll preach a whole lot shorter if you preach with me this morning. I know it's a holiday weekend and we're all excited to get out of here, but I do believe that God gave me something very important and very vital. And it's vital that the church not be looking for revival in the future, but be living in revival right now. Not be looking for miracles to happen down the road, but be living for the miracle right now. Not be waiting for something to be fulfilled, but living with faith and promises. God is already enacting it in the very moments that we are sitting here. Because we do not come to church to idly twiddle our thumbs and just wait out till the rapture. But we are here for spiritual training, for spiritual strengthening, for an awakening of an army and an end time harvest that God has promised. But it requires you and it requires me to be faithful to the calling that was instilled within us from our Father. Understand, this is not something that was built overnight, but we have the privilege to carry this gospel that was passed down from generation to generation. From the very beginning in the garden, it was passed down from God to Adam. Whether he chose to follow it or not is not part of the point, but the point was God said from the very beginning, in the cool of the day, he would talk with Adam, and he would still in Adam the things of his heart. Adam chose, of course, to sin, yes, but we see even through Cain and Abel that they got something from that. They understand the law of the sacrifice, and we see the differences with Cain and Abel. And throughout the entire Old Testament, all the way leading up to the New Testament, there is always a voice somewhere. And at some point, even with Noah, we see it was the only voice left. But there was always a voice of God's Word. God will never be without a voice in this world. But it's up to you and me to carry what's been instilled within us. This is not something that I went and made on my own. This is not something that you went out and got on your own. This is not something you can buy in a store, but through sacrifice and sweat and tears and blood and giving of lives, there is men of God and women of God that have passed this glorious gospel from generation to generation. Some of our elders, yes, Abraham and Moses may not be here. Peter, James, and John may not be here. Some of the first century church may not be here, but they passed it down to men of God that carried it, and they passed it down, and they passed it down, and Bishop picked it up, and he preached it to us, and he passed it on to Pastor Roy, and he preached it to us in the pastoral team. And I want you to understand there's a value in this book. It's not outdated, it's not antiquated, it's not something that was for a lost and bygone generation, but it is something that is lively, it is something that is living, it is something that is full of hope and promise for you and for me each and every day. But it's up to you and me to bind it on my heart and my mind to teach myself and my children diligently all that God has set before us, because in His Word are testimonies and statutes and commandments, and within those are the secrets to life, the blessings and promises of Almighty God. Now that I laid my foundation, let's move on to where I'm getting to this morning. I'm not going to read all of it for sake of time, but this week I encourage you, challenge you to read Jeremiah chapter 35. It's not a long chapter, it's only 19 verses long. But in those 19 verses are a lot of very sad situations of what I'm just going to highlight a few this morning. But there's also some great promises in Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah 35 talks about the Rechabites. And I know there's a lot of ites in the Bible, and most of us probably don't have a clue who half of them are. But the Rechabites are a sub-tribe of the Kenites. And when Israel left Egypt, when they left that land of bondage going back to their promised land, there was a lot of people that really punished or tried to persecute Israel as they traveled back. They wouldn't let them travel on the king's highway. They would attack them, and they would try and stop them, and they would harass them along the journey. But the Kenites were kind to Israel, and they made a way for them to come through their portion of area where they dwelt. And again, like I said, the Rechabites are a small sub-tribe of the Kenites. But in Jeremiah chapter 35 and verse 5, it says, "And I set before thee the sons of the house of the Rechabites, pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rehab, our father." Now I want to put a little disclaimer in there. They call him their father, and in a sense he was. But he wasn't immediately present. This was, by all recollections, if you study this out, either their great-grandfather or their great-great-grandfather. But the words that he instilled within his children continued from generation to generation. We're now 3-4 generations later. They're sitting before Jeremiah, the prophet of God. And they're saying, no, Grandpa said that we are not to drink any wine. Let's continue to read. He said, "Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build houses, nor sow seeds, nor plant vineyards, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers." Remember, we read in Deuteronomy that Israel was going to inherit a land and cities that they didn't build, and vineyards that they didn't plant, and fields that they didn't sow. But here Jonadab in prophecy was saying to your children, you're going to dwell in this land, but you're not going to build these cities or plant these vineyards, because I want you to dwell with God's people. How many are thankful for a forefather that fell under prophetic inspiration to teach his children how to still dwell with God's people? Because understand, if the Rechabites would have built cities and would have planted fields, they would have been driven out, because that was God's chosen land for his people. But they chose rather to be pilgrims and strangers, to be Bedouins dwelling as nomads in that land in that day. Verse 8, "Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rehab, our father, in all that he has charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyards, nor fields, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us." Understanding this word, remember I said there's testimonies, there's statutes, there's commandments, and in those are life. And understand, I can't preach it all to you today. It's not something that can be done in one time, but through day after day and service after service and generation after generation, the elders before us and the current generation has been given a gift. And that gift is the gift of the Word of God. And I'm so appreciative for what's been invested in me. I didn't do this by myself. I couldn't be here by myself. I stand here alive only by the grace of God and the prayers of my elders. And I appreciate what Brother Kasky said on Wednesday night, that he stood behind this younger generation. And he believed them and he challenged them to go forward. And I appreciate that. I receive that. But I also want to put a little disclaimer there to all the younger generation. If you want to shave some years off your training and advance your ministry and your calling, you get yourself an elder and you submit yourself to your pastor and to godly apostolic leadership. Because I'm appreciative that there's elders and Bishop and Brother Kasky and many others that will help train the next generation. But the quickest way to end your ministry and get outside the will of God is to bull ahead without apostolic authority and covering and without the blessing of apostolic leadership. God is calling his church to be faithful to their father. Understand here, these Rehobites, they were commanded by Jonadab, a man that's not even alive anymore. He's now since deceased. He's in the grave. But he commanded them several generations, don't drink wine, don't build any houses, don't sow any seed, don't plant any vineyards. Understand, he's not there to remind them. Hindsight's always 20/20. It's always easier to look back in that book and say, oh yeah, they made the right choice, Pastor Silas. They did the right thing. Yeah, surely that was easy for them. But I want you to put yourself in their shoes. Understand the Rehobites were in Israel at that time because King Nebuchadnezzar was going through the land and he was conquering and making all the people that he went before captive and slaves to his nation. And the Rehobites went to Israel for safety. And God was trying to show something to his people that day that we know Israel was, God called them a very stiff-necked people, and they one minute they love God, and the next minute they're backslidden, then they come back and they love God, and then they're backslidden. And here the Rehobites are there trying to love God, and Jeremiah the priest, under God's direction and inspiration, calls them into the temple, and he brings them into an inner area, brings them into a private area where few Gentiles had ever seen or looked upon or ever been in that area, that most holy and sacred place of the Jewish culture and religion. He brings them in there, and he sets these pots of wine before them, and he sets cups in front of them. Understand, no one's looking. It's just us here together. The prophet told us to do it. Surely it's okay to do. Hear me, somebody, this morning. No one's watching. What's it really going to matter, Pastor Silas? Just one sip. Our wives and kids, they're back at the tent. What's it really going to matter? Surely I don't want to offend Jeremiah. They could kick us out and we could come pray to Nebuchadnezzar. We're trying to be friends. We've always had good relations with Israel before. What's it going to hurt? One little sip. But understand, we can't live one way on the job and another way at church. We can't look one way here at the house of God and another way on vacation. We can't talk one thing to our coworkers in the world and then talk another thing when we're here at church. We can't hang out with one crowd in school and then hang out with a whole different crowd here at church, because God has instilled something within his children. It doesn't matter if nobody's looking, because Jonadab said, thou shalt not drink any wine forever. Maybe he just said 20 years, Pastor Seidel. Maybe just a generation, Bishop. But he said, you and your children shall not do it forever. But where was Jonadab? He was dead. He was gone. He was in the grave. Surely he wouldn't know. Surely it wouldn't bother him. He knows we're just trying to do the best for us and our family. See, these are the lies hell tells you. It won't matter. Just a little bit over here, a little bit over there. I don't really need to pray today. It's okay. I'll pray tomorrow. One service, it won't hurt. I'll be in church next week. And just like that, Brother Tinney, one of my mentors, he would always say this. He said, the devil goes to get the thin edge of the wedge in, and then he goes to tapping. He just finds that little piece that he can get in. And if you don't know what a wedge is, it's like a triangle piece. And you use it to separate stuff. And you put it in there, and you just start tapping on it. And the longer you tap, the farther it spreads whatever you're trying to spread apart. And that all the enemy tries. He's not trying to get you to backslide overnight. He's not trying to get you to curse God and die. He's just simply trying to find, what can I get in their life? What can I find, Bishop, just to put something in there and just go to tapping on it? Just go to tapping on it. Because if I know if I can get something, that's why the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness spring up defiling. Understand, I gotta guard my heart every single day. I gotta put on the whole armor of God. Come on, somebody, we are too close to the coming of God to get bitter, to get distracted, to live to fearful. Our fathers have invested too much in this generation to give up now. I don't know about you, but there's nothing worthwhile seeing on the media and the news. I don't care which one you look at, CNN, NBC, CBS, Fox News. They're all peddling the same garbage, fear, destruction, and devastation. But I have a God that's able. I have a God that said, if you'll come to me, I'll fill you with promise. I have a God that said, I'll take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now understand, Bishop, you can testify. It wasn't always easy. There was time when peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or a bowl of oatmeal was all we could afford. God never promised everything sunshine and roses. But he said, if you'll stay faithful to me, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be as close as a mention of my name. But then it requires a dedication on my part that I'm not going to compromise what was handed to me. I'm not going to shell out what was handed to me. I'm not going to try and modernize what was given to me. Because if it was good enough for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. Hear me, somebody. Galatians 1 and 8 verse 9, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In case you forgot, Paul says it again in verse 9, as we said before, so say now, I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I want to live in blessing. I want to live in promise. I can't compromise. Doesn't matter if I don't like it. Doesn't matter if it doesn't fit my schedule from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to teach it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to love it. I'm going to instill within my children. You love Jesus. You love the men of God. You love the women of God. You love the worship. You love to pray. You love to praise. And you know what? Even when it's not convenient, you still love the fast. Because it does something on the inside. Hear me, somebody. We can't sell out. There is such a press in the spirit to just make it a little easier. We don't really still need to do that anymore. We can compromise. It won't matter. We can still speak in tongues and come to church. But I'm telling you, it's today like never before. We need to resist every lie of hell. We need to resist every distraction of the enemy. There's not 10 ways or 20 ways to get to heaven. It doesn't matter what Janice and Jambri are doing. It matters what's in the book. It matters what the word says. It matters what the spirit is speaking to the church. Understand, you may say, I'm the only one living that way. I'm the only one doing it. Okay, Elijah, but even when you thought you were alone, there was 7,000 other prophets of God that refused to bow their knee. Let me tell you, when we get to heaven, as long as we stay true to this, there's going to be an untold multitude. People from every generation, every creed, every color, every background, every ethnicity. We're going to gather around that glorious throne. We're going to worship God because we chose to love his word. Because we chose to honor him. Because we chose to worship him. Because we chose to stay faithful to something that was once delivered unto us. Because we chose not to be so soon removed from the gospel. Understand, it's not always going to be easy. I remember serving on a mission field. And you know, I say this almost every time I come up here. I should be dead and I'm alive. You know why? Because I don't want to ever forget, and I don't want you to ever forget what God did for me. It wasn't, oh yeah, God just healed me of a brain tumor. 3 brain surgeries later, I'm still alive. Praise God, amen. No, I'm not supposed to be here. But there was a faithful father. There was a faithful mentor that sowed into me. There was a body of Christ that prayed over me. My life is not my own. To die is gain, but to live is Christ. I'm alive to serve this body. I'm alive to serve this kingdom. I'm only here on God's green earth because God said it to be so. And as long as I'm doing it, I'm going to preach the gospel. Come on, let's not. Can I just talk to you for a minute? I know I'm getting close to closing. Can I talk to you for a minute? Many of you have been praying for us to have a house, and I appreciate that, and thank you. We got a house. We closed on it May 17th. We signed the paperwork. We're currently remodeling the house and doing some work on it before we move in. I thank all those that have sacrificed. My parents have been out there almost every day working on it, and my brother came out, and a friend came out, and Aaron Renvick came out and brought some equipment so we could cut down some trees, and I thank everybody that's there, but understand that's not my home. That's the place where God has placed me that I can live. That's the place where God can place me so I can teach Bible studies, so I can pray, so I can be a light and a witness. God has blessed me and my family with two wonderful, nice new cars. I remember what it was like driving an old car, and I'm thankful to have a new vehicle. Now, by new, it's 7 years old, but that's still new to me. It's newer than I've ever had, so I'm thankful for it. But understand, when you're driving, find somebody to bring to church. Because God delivered this to you. He delivered it to me, and I can't keep it to myself. Come on, God said to Israel. He used this story in Jeremiah 35. He knew what the Rehobites were going to say, but God was trying to show his people, if these people would do this for a dead father that can't see, can't hear, can't touch, can't heal, can't deliver, what should my people do for me, their God, that can heal you, that can deliver you, that can save you, that can set you free, that can touch you, that can move in your body and heal you? God was trying to get something through to his people that day. They did all that for an earthly father. They were willing to put sacrifice all their safety, jeopardize everything they had because Jonadab said, don't do it forever. Well, Jonadab, you don't understand my situation. You don't know the school I go to. You don't know the coworkers I work with. Doesn't matter, he said, forever. And God stepped in and blessed and used a people that were not his people. You read in Jeremiah 35, God said that the children of Jonadab would be blessed forever because they honored their father. They honored the law of their father. I'm hearing somebody hear me this morning. Doesn't matter if they don't understand why I live this way. Doesn't matter if they don't understand why I go to church this much, or I dress this way, or I don't cuss and curse. Doesn't matter. My father said it, and that's enough for me. I'm a Rehobite. I was called to live this way. It's my privilege to be a king's kid. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Understand, God's called us, but there's a path that I have to walk worthy of. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Understand, we may not all get along. We may not all see eye to eye. We may not all agree to everything, but guess what? You're my brother and you're my sister. We're in this journey together. And no matter if it all goes the same way, or it floats my boat or floats yours, we're going to work together. Because there was a father that went before us that gave their life, the sacrifice that we could have this glorious privilege. There was someone that suffered persecution and died to carry this gospel to our generation. And folks, we're going to work together, because end time revival and harvest is not coming. It is right now. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say it? End time harvest is now. Say it again. End time harvest is now. So guess what? You just said it's right now. So what am I doing, and what are you doing to facilitate that? Because it's not just going to happen. I'm so appreciative of what Brother Herring did in the Wisconsin district and all those that prayed and fasted that happened on Pentecost Sunday. Over 1,000 people filled with the Holy Ghost. Numerous people baptized and healed. I'm appreciative of that and I'm thankful. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. I'll say it again. That's not the end. That's just the beginning. Let's go on. Verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Understand, I'm not going to preach it this morning. I'm done. Music team, if you can come, a few more things and I'll close. But understand, in the Word of God, you have the fruit of the Spirit. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. When you start producing those fruits in your life, it'll open up the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And you'll start to see gifting and miracles work in your life. When you have the 9 fruits of the Spirit and the 9 giftings of the Spirit, then you'll live in the 9 beatitudes or the 9 promises of God. Am I right, Sister Vernon? But it starts with God already gave the Spirit. It starts with me yielding to His Spirit, producing His fruit, unlocking His gifts, and then inheriting the blessings and the promises. Stand with me all over this house. I want you to hear me this morning. I didn't do this on my own. There was an Abraham and a Moses that went before me. There was a Joshua that said, just keep marching, be quiet, just keep marching. Don't grumble why do we got to walk around Jericho so many times? It doesn't make any sense, Pastor Seidel. Seriously, I'm going to walk around these walls and have a victory. Just keep walking, just keep walking. Hold your peace, be quiet, just keep walking. And when we get to the end, there's going to be a shout of victory. Well, there's a day coming soon and very soon when there's going to be a trumpet on high and there'll be a shout of victory and the dead in Christ shall rise. But before that day, somebody say before that day, there's going to be an end time revival. The latter rain and the former rain are going to reign together. We are going to see tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people receive this gifting of the Holy Ghost. And I know you don't mind. It's not just going to be with Brother and Sister Vernon. They're going to see thousands. I believe that. But it's going to be with young people in your schools praying for them. It's going to be with the elderly people in the nursing home too, praying for them. It's going to be with the people in the middle of the road. I don't know if you want to be young or old. It's okay. It's going to be at your job, wherever you're at. It's going to be at the gas station, at the restaurant, signs, miracles, and wonders. It's my promise, but then I have to be faithful to my Father. I have to be faithful with what was instilled within me, even when the journey isn't always easy. Peter, James, and John, they gave their life. There was a G.T. Haywood that went before me that sang a crimson stream of blood. He was in his office over a week of prayer and fasting, came out singing that song. The church had never heard it before. He shined with light. He felt the glory of God. The fire department showed up that day because they thought the church was on fire because there was a glorious atmosphere. That's the time we're moving into again, and greater times, because as God calls, His people are responding. COVID wasn't here to get you afraid, but it was to awaken the church to end time revival in their home. See, what COVID was designed to do was designed to move the battle out of the sanctuary into your home. Because the battle we fight is not just supposed to be something that we do 2 or 3 times a week in this building, but it's supposed to be daily. Early will I seek thee. It was a brother, Elder Merle Ewing, it was a brother T.F. Tinney that poured into my life. There's so many good sayings. He went on me before. Just recently, it was a brother, Eli Hernandez. They poured into me. Bishop, Pastor Roy, the pastoral team, maybe your Sunday school teachers. Doesn't matter where you are, who you are. When we are deputizing, doing missions work, and I know you're standing, I'm done. But I remember seeing a 2-year-old boy, Isaiah. He's older now, but when he was 2, lady, we were in a church in, I won't say where, somewhere between the North and South Pole. I know where it was, but I don't want it to be said about a church or district. So we were in a church. A lady came up to me and said, can you pray for me? I need back surgery. I said, yeah, I'll pray for you. But then the Holy Ghost just stopped me and said, no, you're not going to pray. And I was holding Isaiah, working the altars. And Sister Vernon, I held him as a 2-year-old boy. I watched him lay his hands on that lady, and I whispered in his ear, I said, Jesus, right now, and he repeated after me, I speak to that back in the name of Jesus. Back, obey your maker. Back, be made whole right now in the name of Jesus. I watched that lady worship Jesus. I got a phone call about a week or 2 later. She didn't need back surgery. Her back was completely healed. But here's what Elder Kasky was trying to tell the church. I loose you and let you go. I loose you and let you go. I'm not going to be bound by fear. I'm not going to be bound by any preconceived ideas of what it used to be like. But I loose you and I let you go. I loose you in your schools. I loose you in your homes. I loose you in your jobs. I loose you in your cars. I loose you in your communities. God's church is being loosed for end time revival. Can we find a place to pray all over this house? And simply this. God, here I am. Use me. I'm a man of unclean lips and an unclean tongue. But use me. Use me, Jesus. Come on, all over this house, let's find a place to pray. If you want to come to the altar, if you want to pray where you're at, but let's turn this building into a sanctuary. Let's open our hearts to the Holy Ghost. Come on, let the Holy Ghost move you this morning. Let the Holy Ghost move you this morning.
Give you all I am.
You are worthy.
Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you, Brother Ben, for this word from God. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Ghost in this place. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please remember, those who have made the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf, continue to pray for those who have lost loved ones. This is a time of year that is especially difficult, and for those who have recently lost loved ones, more so. Let's enjoy the holiday otherwise, and let's be a blessing to someone on this Memorial Day weekend in the name of Jesus. God bless you in Jesus' name.